The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on October 9, 2022. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. Good to see you today. Nice bright fall day. Well, right now I'm teaching the course many of you are in it, I think, Genjo Koan. And there at the very beginning, we looked at this, there's this very dense set of words there from Dogen. There's an awful lot right in the beginning of Genjo Koan that can be expanded on. In fact, it said that all of Dogen is right there at the beginning. And in fact, I think we could say all of the Buddha Dharma is right there, the teaching of the awakening. But there's a number of places in the teaching of the awakened, the Buddha Dharma, where we have things like this, where there's a great deal that is going on in a very tiny space with very few words. So I'd like to kind of explore some of those this morning and maybe get back to Genjo Koan. The first one, of course, I think not only historically first, perhaps, but maybe the most extreme. We have that story. Many of you know this one. There was a general, you know, who was, I guess he was leading his armies and he was going off to war or whatever. He didn't have time. He heard that the Buddha was a great teacher. He didn't have time for his teachings, however. He said, so he asked if he could sum it up in a word. And the Buddha said, awareness. And then with that, awareness, okay. And the general heads out to fight his war or whatever. So we have that, the whole teaching. You can sum it up in a single word. What would it be? Awareness, said the Buddha. The problem for us, unless we ourselves are awakened to Dharma, to reality, we will take any bit of the teaching, including that single word, and we'll create a model of it. We'll create something other than what the Buddha was pointing to. And using that word, the Buddha wasn't naming anything, he wasn't really identifying anything, saying anything, he was just pointing. And what was he pointing to? Well, really, because he isn't really pointing to something particular or anything of this sort, we often sometimes use the term objectless awareness. The Buddha was speaking in terms of wrapping up his teaching in a single word. He's speaking of objectless awareness, not awareness as we normally think, as we might construct it in our minds or model it. Awareness of something particular. What, awareness of enlightenment or something like that, we might say. It might be one thing that we might interpret it as. And then we wonder about that. Maybe we can even argue about it. That's very typical of our ordinary understanding of things. But when it comes to Dharma teaching, true Dharma teaching by the awakened, and they put it into a very succinct form like that. This isn't something that you can get a grip on. You should know, and this is what, again, what I was saying, this is what Dogen is doing right at the beginning of Genjo Koan. It's very dense. There is all, you know, a single word awareness. Very dense. You should know immediately that this is not an ordinary teaching, that this is not an ordinary word. The Buddha is not speaking of awareness of something in particular. He's speaking of objectless awareness. And another way of speaking of that, which I use a lot here, is just simply perception. Of course, we'll still think perception of what? we'll put an object there in our mind, because we're conceptualizing the experience, we're conceptualizing the word, we're conceptualizing the teaching, and we'll form something there. We just do this. And then we try to figure out, is that the right one? Is that what he means? Instead of just hearing it out, not pointing to anything at all in particular, it's just up, here we are. It's turned on, this vibrant reality, right here. Awareness. Just that alone, objectless. This is Dharma. This is reality. This is Buddha. Buddha is just thus expressed as a human being. It's just alive and awake. So this is what's being pointed out there. So what is this teaching about? What is this practice? What is it you do? What do you... Awareness. You ask for a single word, he says awareness. The Buddha said. So this is important to understand, particularly when we run into, it doesn't have to be a dense passage or something, but when it comes out like that, you should realize, don't grab hold of this. Make it into something in your mind. Maybe somebody else will make it into something else, and then you can sit there and argue about it and still wonder. All the while, you're dropping your attention from what was just pointed out, awareness. Are you aware of what you're doing when you do something like that? Awareness. So these pithy, dense little sayings and expressions and words that are used here and there are very important. We have another one from the Buddha too that I refer to quite a few times, quite often, and that is where he says, do what is wholesome, do what is of the whole. Avoid what is unwholesome. Then he said, purify your own mind. This is what the awakened teach. There it is in a nutshell. Pretty, not a single word now, spreading it out a little bit. And it's really the same message. All of these are the same, including Dogen's opening to Genjo Kongen. Same message here, same realization by those that are giving us these teachings. They realize the same thing, same experience, same understanding of what's taking place here. Do what is wholesome of the whole. This is already a reference to perceptual awareness, not conceptual awareness. That's not of the whole. Perceptual awareness, just pure awareness, objectless awareness. Do what is of the whole. Act out of that understanding, out of that realization, out of that attention that you're giving to just us. That means it's not coming from you or from someone else or what you think you should do or what you think the rules are or anyone you're trying to impress or anything of this sort at all. That's the world divided. And the world appears divided, certainly. We can't ignore that. But when you're acting that way, you're acting out of a mind that believes that the world is actually divided into this and that, you and me and one thing or another. And we're going to manipulate these things and control these things and work with these things so we can, what, figure things out here. So that I can be at peace. I can find the end of suffering. Whatever it might be, I can be enlightened. That's just ordinary mind again, grasping mind. That's of the conceptual. That is of what is broken up into this and that, which is the functioning of consciousness. There's this conscious awareness now with this. And, of course, one of the things that's there all the time would be me. Here I am, and I'm witnessing all that. I see this, I hear this, I taste this, I think this. whatever it might be. And we're engaged in that kind of stuff. Our mind's not at all set on or remaining aware of or remembering wholeness, totality. Not one thing set against another. Is all of the whole. Nor then do our actions or our speech come out of that awareness. But they come out of buying into the fractured world, divided into this and that, and the next thing. So that's where we are. So the Buddha is just saying there then, just there's the awareness, the perceptual, just do that. Be aware of that. Take care of that. Don't lose sight of that. As for the broken out world of this and that, you know, the fractured world, just be careful there. We can't ignore that or leave it or something like that. It's still taking place right here. Dogen in Genjokon, he's speaking to this now, right at the very beginning. But that's taking place right here, and we can't ignore that. That which is not of the whole, not wholesome. And we have to act there. That's where we eat and build shelters and all the things that we have to do as individuals to live. But we can do this with a mind of wholeness in which we carry out these things without injuring others or even injuring ourselves by injuring others or injuring ourselves in any number of ways. We can do this in peace and harmony because we haven't lost sight of wholeness. But we do have to take care of the fractured world to some degree. But don't build anything on that. Don't take all your input or whatever from that, your cues, your concerns, your ideas, your activity. Don't lose sight of wholeness. Act out of that. So this is what the Buddha is teaching, and that's objectless awareness. Don't lose sight of that. And then he said, purify, because we are in this muddy water of this and that. Purify your own mind. This doesn't mean to have lofty thoughts or something like this. you don't want to, shameful thoughts and things like that. Ishi, purify your mind. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means watch your mind. See when you're becoming engaged in what is not of the whole, what is fractured and divided, what is to your advantage or to someone else's advantage or disadvantage in either case. And you're weighing things out according to that. Be aware when that is coming up in the mind and avoid that, the Buddha says. So this is to purify your own mind, to live without motive. The fools shackle themselves, as Shen Zhang and Xin Qing Ming. The wise are without motives, because their minds are of the whole and coming out of the whole. And then there, the Buddha just sums it up. He said, this is what the awake can teach. There you have it. That's the whole thing right there. If you want it in a word, it's awareness. You want to see how it plays and interact within the whole here, you can look at opening of Genjokon. So there's plenty of places like this in our teachings. We have Nagarjuna, who says in his Mulambajamka Krika, I think it's chapter 24, I forget the verse now, where Nagarjuna says, for those for whom non-substantiality is clear, everything is clear. To those for whom non-substantiality, shunyata was the word, or emptiness sometimes, we'll say. To those for whom non-substantiality is not clear, nothing is clear. He's not exaggerating there. Buddha says, I teach but two things. There's suffering and there's release from suffering. Either we see this, we see the whole, or we do not. There's no in-between ground. Dogen is very clear on that. No in-between ground. Why is that? Well, because when you have shades of meaning and understanding that, we're entirely in the conceptual. We're interested in full awakening to reality, to what is really taking place here, to what it is that the awakened see. You can't be playing that game. Of course, we are in this world of this and that, and to some extent, maybe we do have to play that to some degree, but always be careful of where you're going with this. Don't hang on to any of it or cling to it or try to use it to better yourself or to better your friends or whatever it might be. To not lose sight of the whole. This is what the awakened teach. This is what they point to. Here it is in a nutshell. Awareness, objectless awareness. Don't lose sight of that. There's nothing really there to even get sight of, but you want to have this awareness so you can see when you're caught, when you're entangled, when the mind is leaning toward this and away from that. This is what you can keep your mind on, and then avoid that. As the Buddha said, learn to recognize that. And you know, of course, oftentimes we're very attached to that, and you know, this isn't particularly healthy mentally. That this is going to lead to a great deal of suffering in the world, and yet we're going to go ahead with it. It's like me and potato chips. You know, I know that I love potato chips, but I know they're not healthy for me. My heart doctor would not like it, and I know this, and I know I shouldn't. You know, but every once in a while, I just give way to buying a bag of potato chips. Not too often, I don't think. But it's that, you know, but it's that kind of a thing. Like, I know what I'm doing here is going to cause trouble, but I'm somehow delighting in it. And I watch that. Ask yourself, what do you want that little pleasure there for the moment? Or do you want to wake up and live out of awakeness? Where the mind is settled. Where, as Nagarjuna says, everything is clear. Because you can see, you know, basically what enlightenment is seeing delusion. You can see what is fractured and divided. If you also see emptiness or non-substantiality, you will realize there's nothing there to hang on to. So why do you carry on as if there is? When you can really truly see that there is not, and that you never do get hold of anything, yeah, you might have to take care of things just in the world of this and that. Can't ignore that. But you don't have to be taken by that, caught up in that, entangled in that, work it even further and try to use it for your advantage or whatever else. So that's what these teachings are pointing to. Again, they're just little remarks that we could easily just skip over. Nagarjuna, when he says, for those to whom emptiness is clear, everything is clear. Yeah, well, okay, but I don't really understand. You know, we'll just go right on by. And to those for whom emptiness is not clear, well, maybe that would... Maybe you can identify with that if this isn't clear. Well, what's he saying? It's nothing hard to understand there. He's saying, when then nothing is clear, well, isn't that the case? Do you know what's going on here? Do you know how you got here, where you came from, where you're going? What about death? What's that all about? Are any of these things clear to you? And unless you wake up, no, they're not. But Nagarjuna is saying, if non-substantiality is clear, everything is clear. None of these things are mysteries. Right there, right now, in front of your eyes, under your legs as you sit here on the floor, in the chair, under your feet, right here, everything is taking place. Dogen speaks of this in Genjo Koan. Even in a drop of dew, right under your feet. Everything is clear. These people who realize this, have a direct realization of what's taking place here, they're not exaggerating. They are pointing as directly as possible to what is available to all of us. All the time, even now. How serious do you want to get about it? You know. So you watch your mind. You take up this practice and take it seriously. Don't do it haphazardly. Don't try to turn this kind of teaching into ordinary stuff again that you can grasp. Well, this is so hard with Dogen or Nagarjuna, what they're saying, Wang Po, I don't know. You turn it into something quite digestible. I don't know if I should use this analogy or not. I just happened to catch a program I thought was off the radio, but it was a Radio Lab. And I just caught part of that yesterday. And it was about a guy who was a composer of music. And he lost the ability, the creative sense of it, and he couldn't put two notes together all of a sudden. So then he was kind of depressed about that. But then he got engaged in some kind of working with computers or something, and he found, or did he create a program or whatever, that would sort of, as he kind of put it, it could take notes, random notes from different things, and put it together to create music. Well, but it wasn't just random notes. He pulled a section of Bach, some music by Bach, Johann Sebastian, and he worked with it. But he was kind of putting down how, it reminds me of Bach's son, was a Johann Christian, I forget which one it was, but he had quite a few actually. But they kind of put down their father, Johann Sebastian. Because they thought he was old-fashioned. And yet his music is still loved and played 300 years later. Not so much the sons that were putting them down. Though some of their music is still available too. But anyway, but this guy was kind of talking in the same way. Making it sound like Bach, one of the greatest composers ever. Just based on the fact that, you know, hundreds of years later, and his music is still thriving. Just that alone. But he was kind of making it sound like this could be improved on by his machine here, his computer. And so they played some music there that supposedly it enhanced whatever it was Bach did. I love music. I love Bach. I know his music fairly well, a lot of it, not all of it, tons of it, but I know Bach to some degree. I also knew the piece that they were fiddling with. And anyway, when he puts it through the machine and he thought of how much more lovely it sounded, and it was pleasant enough. There's one thing that's remarkable about Bach. You can do almost anything with Bach and it still sounds fantastic. And so this sounded pretty good. But it also sounded watered down to me. It wasn't Bach. It didn't have the deep, I don't know, what can I say, character, the thing that could just really get in there and move the heart. But I don't mean to put down the guy, but he tried. But what I'm saying, and the analogy I was using here, I probably shouldn't have used that example, but is that be careful of this teaching. Dharma, the teaching of the awakened Buddha Dharma. That just because you run into something that's difficult and you don't get it. I mean, I remember when I first encountered the koans of the Blue Cliff Record, I couldn't make sense of any of it, really. Once in a while, I started thinking, well, I kind of get this one. I think I got that. Yeah. And I don't know why I stayed with these things, but I keep coming back to them. And if anybody told me, I've since now, it's out there, you could get the recordings, but I've commented on all of them. And there's plenty there to say. And there's plenty more that could be said. I have plenty more I could say about them. But there was a time when I first encountered these things, I didn't understand them at all. Wang Po, Nagarjuna, Dogen. But thank goodness, they weren't watered down too much, though sometimes in the translation, some things do get kind of watered down. But you want to avoid teachings that are going to try to make it easier for you to understand. Because what happens, and I've seen this in translations of Nagarjuna, you end up with something that, yeah, I get it too. I see what you have Nagarjuna saying here. But actually, as I read Nagarjuna directly, now that I can see what Nagarjuna sees, that's not Nagarjuna, what you've done there. You want to watch for this. Do not be afraid of just sitting with these teachings, even though you can't understand. I used to sit and listen to Katagiri Roshi at first. I'd see, and he had such an interesting personality and was kind of charming and funny often and that sort of thing. You just kind of hang in there with him. But much of the time, I wasn't quite sure what he was getting at. But I stayed with that for whatever reason. I stayed with reading the koans and Wang Po, Nagarjuna. Eventually that changed, and it changed rather suddenly, where all of a sudden I realized what these things are pointing out. But if you want to keep going toward a kind of a popularized layout of the teachings or whatever, they make you feel good or something like this, or I can kind of understanding. Well, if that understanding is an idea you get, a concept, just realize that that is not Buddha Dharma, because you can't do that with Buddha Dharma. I have no ideas about Buddha Dharma. Buddha Dharma, teaching of the awakened, is such that you can't really grip it, but it can, if you allow it, only because you lose your grip on other things, it'll turn your attention. Like the dropping off of body and mind, as Dogen speaks of. So I would be very careful if you insist on kind of an easygoing teaching. The other thing, too, that I didn't understand at first, but it seemed so intellectual or intellectually difficult. Concepts and ideas. Yeah, but it's not that at all. I didn't understand it at first. And so I'm trying to figure these things out. And it just seemed like so much work. I now realize at some point, I just suddenly realized this isn't what it is at all. And you don't have to do that. So I would say too, if you find yourself thinking too deeply and work on it, just realize you're completely on the wrong track here. You don't need to do it. All you need to do is you can read it, you can come and listen. If it's true Dharma teaching, and just listen. And as Suzuki said, when my talk is over, your listening is over, yeah, you can just let it drop. You don't need to remember. There's a remembrance there. There's something there. It's not a remembrance exactly. There's stuff working right there with you all the time when you're exposed to this sort of teaching that doesn't expect you to grip it. That's legitimate. It's not just babbling nonsense words. There's got to be legit teaching. from someone who actually sees. And we have plenty of these, but just be careful, because there's plenty more that isn't of this nature. But all you need to do is get familiar with it. Because you already have the understanding that's in the Buddha Dharma. It's already yours. The problem is you're not familiar with it. The problem is that you're gripping other things that you can grip. You got ideas about it. Yeah, I understand I can use this. It makes you feel pretty good that you can do that with whatever the subject might be. The ones that you can kind of grip easily, you might tend to go there. And that's all fine when it comes to regular stuff. But when it comes to this matter of seeing reality in totality, where the deep backdrop of mystery that seems to be behind everything drops away, because you can fully see what is actually taking place. For that, there's nothing to figure out. You only need to come to these teachings on a regular basis. And there'll be something in you that might begin to, I don't know, keep shaking my hands, like, you know, vibrate with it or something like this. Because you do already know the truth. You know reality. It would be impossible for you not to. We only need to wake up to it. That's all. We don't realize that we're asleep. But when we're caught in our dreaming, when we're caught in our constructed reality, we can be so occupied with that, we just ignore, you know, what is taking place. Well, getting back to Dogen and the opening of Genjo Koan, I just want to say this. The same thing here. We have this very dense stuff and in a matter of a few lines. That's why the different parts, if those of you taking the class, it's classically or typically divided, historically divided into 14 sections. You know, 1, 2, and 3 are right there at the beginning. Then they start to lengthen a bit as you go on through the piece. It's only 2 pages long. But right there at the beginning, where Dogen says, when all things of the teaching of the awakened is just constantly speaking the truth, yeah, then we have delusion and enlightenment and birth and death and Buddhas and sentient beings, and we have practice. And it's not when, it's in the season of all things. Our Buddha Dharma. When is that? When is it not? It's always thus. And we have all these things. The world seems divided up into this and that. But then he says, in the season of all things are without self, there is no Buddha, no sentient being, no enlightenment, no delusion. Well, when is that? Is that another time other than that first when all things are teaching reality, speaking reality, demonstrating reality? And when they're without self, is that a different time? Well, these are not different times. Dogen doesn't spell that out for us right there, because it seems like we have this and we have that. There's this and that, but all things are, as Nagarjuna says, you know, they're without, whether non-substantial, can't get hold of them. So then Dogen, in the third line, he says, since the Buddha way, his way of understanding, his way of realization, since the Buddha way is beyond fullness and lack, or abundance and lack, it's beyond the abundance of here they are, all the myriad things coming and going. Well, whack. No, we don't find these. You can't get hold of these things. the Buddha way, this way of the Buddhas, the way that out of the realization of this ultimate reality, which is what Genjokon is about, the realization of ultimate reality. The Buddha way, the enlightenment, if you will, though that's not a very good way to put it, is beyond, here it is, and nothing at all, something and nothing. It's not something, it's not nothing. That doesn't capture it, this doesn't capture it. You can see this, this is the Buddha way. And because of this, now we have birth and death, and well, we have, yeah, and Buddhas and sentient beings and delusion and enlightenment. It is because it is beyond this. If things were as they appear to be, now you have mystery and nothing is clear. The reason you think there is mystery, the reason you feel like, I know this and I know that. I know how to do my job. I know how to, drive a car. I know how, you know all kinds of things. But when it comes to thus, what's going on here? What happens to me after I die? All that kind of stuff. All the existential things. A lot of things, I don't even want to think about that. Hey. Not knowing that you can actually look at it directly and wake up. But to the extent that we are seeing things in these terms, if we're buying into it, now there's mystery. It is because they are beyond this. They are not something, the things of appearances here. Just prove that to yourself by trying to just get hold of any aspect at all of anything. And you can't do it. You might think you can. Bring it to me if you think you can get hold of something there. Maybe I can help you notice. You probably don't have really, you haven't really gotten hold of anything. I can help you with that. You can't go to the other side as if this is nothing. Here's a floor. Well, we can say floor. That's just a word, but it's not nothing. You can see this. You can see that this is not something. You can see that this is not nothing. It's beyond fullness and lack. Well, Dogen is starting right out. Yet in spite of this, flowers fall amid our longing and weeds flourish amid our loathing. Something like that. Things are kind of coming and going here. I love that, but it falls. And I don't want that, but here it is, Yeah. But that's the taste of the world that's coming and going. It is just kind of the, the echoes, the flavors of, there we seem to have something. And then we, at other times, it seemed like we don't really have anything there at all. So it still appears like this. In other words, we're living with the appearances. But if you can see that this is how it is, I'm just going to say it really is this way. In any way in particular at all, but here it is, thus. This can be seen directly. I can assure you of that. It's not an idea. As I'm talking, you might be getting ideas about this. As I said, the awakens have no idea about this. If you still have ideas about this, but it is possible at some point that the ideas drop off. You can see this. You do see this, even now. But you hold ideas. You grip views. You feel that learning will come through getting the right view and working it in the right way, and then I'll understand. No, you don't. You remain caught in mystery. We don't understand mind. We don't understand consciousness. Because we're gripping views. We think then that things that are appearing here, or even like this thing like here, my brain or something like this, can work this and it's creating consciousness. Yeah, we believe that. Most people in our culture today believe that. But it's just a belief. What you're saying is that you believe that I can create a model of the universe in my mind here. And so I don't actually really touch it or taste or anything. What I'm tasting is the model that I've somehow built in my mind, in my brain. That's what we believe, which makes no sense whatsoever. Instead of realizing the direct, immediate, objectless perception of simply thus. You don't have to believe that. You can see that this is what's going on. And as Nagarjuna says, with this, everything is clear. Without this realization, nothing is clear. Mind remains a mystery. Consciousness remains a mystery. The world itself, because matter remains a mystery. Everything will remain a mystery. It doesn't have to be this way. It is possible to wake up. That's what this practice and this teaching helps us with. These teachings only point, like in studying Nagarjuna or Genja Koan, Dogen, it's just pointing. Don't try to grip it. What he's saying there in that third line, it's beyond fullness and lack. Fullness, it seems like I can get hold of something here. And lack, well, no, it's there's no Buddhas, no sentient beings. It has nothing to do with that. Even to say beyond is also kind of a problem. Well, every time we use words, there's a problem there. Beyond then makes it sound like there's something further out, further in. That's not the case either. It's always right here. So there's no words to be applied. This is why I pointed out that those who wake up to this, they don't have any, they're not hanging on to ideas about this. They don't have to because they see it directly. So do you. But you're hanging on to ideas. That's where you need to give some attention to recognize how you're doing that all the time in all kinds of ways. And see if you can just kind of ease your grip on that. Dropping off of body and mind, says Dogen. Well, I've talked quite a bit about this. Maybe I should stop. Yeah, Mary.
So the other night, when we were reciting Prasanna Mind, it suddenly occurred to me that maybe, when we were reciting Prasanna Heart Mind Friday night, it suddenly occurred to me that maybe since I'm he's pointing to the same thing, Dogen is pointing to the lines we just talked about when Saint-San says, the recurring movement.
The
arises only because of our ignorance.
Yes. And that's what we'll tend to do because we believe there is something. And we hear talk like this or language like emptiness or something like that. And then we think, well, if there's not this, then the only place for our mind to go is to that other extreme. And that's what we'll do. We'll go from one extreme, we go from is to is not, and back and forth. And we do this with everything. But that's a characteristic of when you think that there's something, now you can do that. Well, what we miss is everything else. Well, reality. We exclude the middle. You know, I get into philosophical language there. The excluded middle. The middle that's excluded in, it's attributed to Aristotle, the three laws of thought, the law of identity, the law of contradiction, and the law of excluded middle. Well, what we exclude, there's no middle ground. If something is either A or not A, there's no middle ground. If it's A, then it's not A. No middle ground. Yeah, and that's where we are, because our thought goes that way. Thinking goes this way, conceptualizing goes from one extreme to the other. The middle is excluded. But Nagarjuna's middle way, I don't think he was working on it, the counter Aristotle, I doubt. But though he could have known about him, I don't know, he's after Aristotle. But this middle way, of course, the Buddha spoke of middle way, but that's what gets excluded by our thought, by our thinking. But that's reality, including the extremes, the whole thing. This is Dharma. And your mind, if it remains in the conceptual, it only deals with these two extremes. With the perceptual or with awareness, as the Buddha was speaking of it there in a single word, that had to be objectless awareness, because the whole thing is objectless. But the whole is taken into account, is realized. And then we can see that the appearances of the various things that are occurring here are empty of any kind of substantiality. But we'll tend to see them as either substantial and they're all over here, or they're not. Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, something like that. But the reality is, it's where our thought won't go. You can't construct anything there. And you don't need to, but you can see its nature. It looks just like this, sounds like this, feels like, you know, whatever it is you want to hold up there, or a thought or a feeling. But these are appearances. And these things are real. They're not, nowhere in the teaching of the Buddha Dharma to say this is nothing. These are not real. No. Everything is included. Everything is dust. But its nature is ungraspable. And you can see that. And it's just a matter of having an intimate realization of that. Intimate is even the wrong word, because intimate still implies there's two. They're coming together and being very close and intimate with each other. But there's still a kind of a two-ness there. This is beyond that. The realization of this is not, it's not like seeing a reflection or something like that, something else out there that's now coming to me here. All of that has dropped away. This is available to us all the time. Even now, it's just a matter of, at some point, we wake up to that. At some point, I realized that I was reaching for a book, and I realized there was no hand. That happened in an instant. And when that happened, it wasn't like, it was absolute conviction. It was just pure knowledge. It was just, this is the case. Except my mind then said, but there's a hand there. And then the understanding came. It's not in seeing that there's no hand. There's a hand there. But it's not in seeing that there's a hand there. It's not in one. It's not in the other. It's not in right here or the reflection in the mirror. Dogen speaks of it. It is not like this, he says. No, it's beyond this. But it's a matter of just simply seeing that, actually seeing that. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. But this is available to us. Maybe I said more than I should have there, but when I talk to you about these things, I'm not talking to you because I'm regurgitating stuff I've seen out of read in books. I've read plenty of books. They were very helpful before, you know, and they're still helpful in all kinds of ways, but when I speak to you, I'm talking out of a direct realization. And I can interpret or help you with understanding with some of these pieces like Genja Koan, what Dogen is saying there. It isn't because I've figured out Dogen. I can see what he sees. So I can help you with that. It's been this way since I've known all of you, except for Norm. So anyway, did I help you with that at all?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's 2 minutes before the end of the hour. If anybody has anything? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.